Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. I'm from Romania. I live in the west part of Romania, close to the Hungarian border. Moved to Romania 7 months ago and doing a lot of preaching and teaching. It's part of my passion. I'm working with the youth group in our church. Youth group in Romania, beware, means ages 13 to 30. So it's a little bit different than...
I prefer that, don't you? I was 29. Yeah.
So that's about it. I'm doing that. I'm teaching and preaching in a lot of churches, helping out there. And that's about what I'm doing right now.
Now, the first time you came to Surrey Chapel, you weren't preaching, were you?
No, back then I came as a singer.
How old were you singing. When you first visited us?
Oh, about 19.
Yeah, so you were one of the youth group there, weren't you? The visitors from Romania, and we've fostered this a relationship with the church in Arad for some time, and supported the orphanages there.
Yeah.
And this particular trip to the UK, what's that all about?
Well, the different purposes. I'm looking into starting a PhD program, possibly this fall, September, October, or next year. So I am talking to different schools, different professors about that. Also, I like to come back to visit the friends and the people that have supported our ministry back in Romania, and people that are praying for us on a weekly basis, which are here around this area, and develop new connections, see new pastors, meet with different people, talk to different churches. So
great.
Yeah,
great.
And it keeps my English alive.
Great. Well, it's we're privileged to have Emmy here. So I'm going to pray for Emmy now, and then you can head up there and please pray.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Emmy, and we thank you for his your work and through his ministry. As he preaches to us now, we pray that you'd empower him, your spirit would speak through his heart and his mind to convey to us the essence of the truth, the essence of the hope we have in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning again, and it's a privilege and an honor for me to be here with you again. I thank your pastor and your church for having me in together with you. Your church has been a blessing for us, has done a lot for us in Romania, has helped out with the orphanage, and we thank you for that. The real reason I'm here, Pastor Tom doesn't know, is because I want to apply for the position of assistant pastor. Don't worry about it, Tom. You'll get rid of me in 2 days. So don't worry. It's a real joy for me to be here with you this morning and share from the Word of God. Talk about a topic that is an interest for everyone. No matter who you are, no matter of your background, doesn't matter your cultural background, your ethnic background, your religious beliefs, all of us here and all the people out there need hope. Hope is indispensable to the life we live. And maybe some people don't even realize it, how much hope is needed. But to make my point, let me start by saying that the 10th leading cause of death today worldwide is suicide. 10th leading cause of death is suicide. Over 1 million people commit suicide every year. And it is the leading cause of death among teenagers and adults under 35 years of age. There are an estimated 10 to 20 million non-fatal attempted suicides every year. Can you even believe that 10 to 20 million people every year attempt to commit suicide? Now, if we come to the UK, in the United Kingdom, the number of suicides in 2007 numbered 5,400, 5,400 suicides in the United Kingdom in 07. In 08, it went up. 5,700 suicides in the United Kingdom in 08. Which means that every day in the UK, about 15 people commit suicide. Which means that as we're speaking right now and staying here, there's a very high chance that somebody commits suicide. As we were here singing, talking, looking in God's Word, there were several attempts of people to commit suicide as we were sitting here right now. The question is, what makes all these people commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide? What's happening? What is going on in the lives of people that drives them to go and commit suicide? I think the answer is, people lose hope. People come to a point where they think there's absolutely no hope left, and since I have no more hope, what's the point of living if I have no more hope? And even when someone doesn't think I have no more hope, down deep, if we dig in, the roots of it all is that they do have no more hope. People lose hope. Yes, some have mental disorder. Some are schizophrenic. Some are alcoholic. Some abuse drugs. All these leading them to suicide. Yes, that is true. But a lot of people commit suicide or attempt to do that because they have no sense of hope whatsoever for their lives. And when a person sees no more hope, you'll find that he makes decisions that are simply not wise. People find hope in their career, business, family, relationships, success. Now, when the object of your hope is gone, what happens? You don't see any reason to live anymore. If the object of your hope is your business and you lose it, it's not easy under the circumstances with a crisis, then you see no more reason to live. You're hopeless. If the object of your hope is a relationship with another human being, and that human being ceases to exist, then you lose hope. Because the object of your hope is gone. And you think, there's no more reason for me to live. Hope. People need it. We all need it. Hope keeps a man going and thriving in spite of difficult circumstances. Now, when people lose hope, yes, they become depressive. They resume to alcohol or drugs. And these lead them to suicide. But at the end of it all, it's that if they don't have hope, they think that the problem is solved by going to alcohol, drugs, or things like that, which later can take them to take their life. See, maybe some of you here this morning are looking at circumstances in your life, financial, relational, career, education, whatever it may be, and you think to yourself, I just don't see any hope there. Maybe you haven't told anyone. But maybe deep down in your heart, you think that there's maybe no hope for you in that particular area. Or maybe you've been through a period, a circumstance in your life, 6 months ago, 1 year, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, where you thought there's no hope for me. And if you haven't been there yet, there's a high chance you'll be there one day. Hope that keeps us going in spite of circumstances. Many people don't find something to put their hope in. Something or someone. The problem is people hope in things that are perishable. We hope in things that are temporal, that today exist and tomorrow might not be there. And when the object of our hope is gone, we think there's no reason to live. Question is the human race capable of finding something or someone to hope in that keeps them going no matter what, in spite of the circumstances, regardless of what is happening around in their life? That's a good question. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us that there is such a hope. If you turn with me in Romans chapter 5, Paul the Apostle writes his letter. And in Romans chapter 5, he writes the following words, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And the hope that we have does not disappoint us. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. The Bible is a book of hope. It talks about hope. And again, the question is that if we can find something or someone to put our hope in, a hope that's eternal, a hope that never ends, a hope that never ceases, a hope that stays in firm regardless of what happens around us, in our lives, circumstances, whether it is relational, financial, career, education, business, whatever it is, health, that hope that never ceases. The culture, 21st century postmodernism, third millennium, tells us that there is no such a thing. Tells us that it's only the material, it's only what we see. The Bible tells us that there is such a hope. But what is hope? What would be a definition of hope? Someone said, hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best in the near future, or sometimes later. That events will turn out for the best. That what we want will come about. Or hope can also be seen as a person or thing in which expectations are centered. a person or thing into which expectations, our expectations as human beings, are centered. Now, if the object of your hope is temporal, is perishable, it's just a matter of time for your hope to be gone. If the object of your hope is eternal, hope never ends. So, we believe that there is a God of the universe, our Creator, who loves us, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. When people lose hope, they don't believe that events will turn out for the best. When people lose hope, they have no person or thing into whom expectations could be centered. I've looked up some interesting quotes on hope. An ancient Roman saying says, where there's life, there's hope. Not true. Just because you're alive, it doesn't mean you have hope. There's a lot of people who are alive, who live, but they don't have hope. Friedrich Nietzsche says, hope is the worst of all evils, for it prolongs the torments of men. So according to Friedrich Nietzsche, if you have hope, it's bad to have hope, because if you have hope, it prolongs your torment. That's a smart guy. Alan K. Chalmers says, the grand essentials of happiness are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. According to Alan Chalmers, happiness is if you have something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. There's some truth in that, isn't there? Christopher Reeve, our flying hero, says, once you choose hope, anything's possible. Is it? Optimistic, positive thinking. If you just choose to hope, anything's possible. Well, in that case, we'll all be multimillionaires. Eric H. Erickson says, hope is both the earliest and the most indispensable virtue inherent in the state of being alive. If life is to be sustained, hope must remain, even where confidence is wounded. How about that? Hope is indispensable to the state of being alive. Hope. And if life is to be sustained, hope must remain. That's why a lot of people commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide, because they lose hope. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. You lose the courage to be, the quality that helps you go on in spite of it all. There's a man who sacrificed his life for a cause, and he got killed for something he believed in. But it's a man who had hope. He had hope in spite of it all. Dale Carnegie, or Carnegie, or I don't know how you say that, says, most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying where there seemed to be no hope at all. How about that? An unknown author said, never deprive someone of hope. It may be all they have. Hope. The famous writer Alexandre Dumas said, all human wisdom is summed up in two words, wait and hope. There's something we need to learn sometimes. Wait and hope. Finally, one last quote. Henry Nouwen. All the great spiritual leaders in history were people of hope. Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Mary, Jesus, Rumi, Gandhi, and Dorothy Day, if you will, all lived with a promise in their hearts that guided them toward the future without the need to know exactly what it would look like. Let's live with hope. Let's live with hope. Well, what do you do in those moments when crisis hits and you feel there's nothing left? The Bible is a book of hope. It tells us that hope does not disappoint, and it tells us that we hope in the glory of God. The term hope occurs 150-something times in the Bible. It's a book of hope. Now let's see and look at Romans 5. Romans 5 tells us that hope does not disappoint. But what is the context where these words occur? First one says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified means that God looks at you, and in spite of all the evil and all things you have done wrong, He sees you clean, pure, no sin, no stain, no transgression, no breaking the law. That's fun. It's good to know that's true. To know that I have a God who is just, who is pure, who's not corrupt, who's the most honorable judge of all, looks at me through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and says, I consider you to be clean. I see nothing wrong in you. Now imagine this. I go to a judge, to court, I go to a jury, and they have video proof and photo proof of me robbing people, killing people, doing the most horrible things I could do. So I go to this judge and to this jury, and the judge looks at me and says, you're not guilty, you're clean, you've done absolutely nothing wrong. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is his problem? He knows I'm guilty, there's proof. And yet he looks at me and says, I'm not guilty. Wouldn't we all like that? See, well, that's what happens with God and us. And people have a hard time understanding this. In this context where Paul says we have hope, and we hope in the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint, it is the context where he says, when God looks at you, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Golgotha, he looks at you and he sees nothing. He sees no sin. That if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Peace with God is the moment when a person places his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And hope in God is when we have peace with God. We hope in God that in the future, when we will sit in the judgment seat, in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to ask me a few tough questions, I'm going to say, talk to my lawyer. I have the best advocate and the best defense anyone can ever have. And guess what? It's for free! Talk to the one who sits at the right hand of your throne. At the right hand of your throne, I have the best defense, the best advocate. It's for free. How much does it cost to hire the best lawyer in the UK? Oof. How many of you can afford him? Well, I tell you what. We have the best lawyer, the best advocate, and the best defense in the whole universe. And it's for free. And when God looks at me and at you, that's hope. That's my hope. That's your hope. That is the hope that Christians have. People think, why in the world do they hope in God? Why? Because when he looks at me through the person of Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice, if Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, anything that I did wrong, he says, not guilty. Wow! When you understand, for free? No, it can't be for free. Some people have a hard time understanding that. When you always have to pay for things. When to get a good lawyer costs money. To come and say, we have hope because when God looks at me through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he says, not guilty. He says, I don't see anything wrong. That's what we hope in. That's our hope. See, we often think of peace and hope in human terms. England is not at war with America, right? They're at peace. Thus, we think, okay, it's peace. We're at peace. And we think of peace in terms of our understanding. Well, I'm not at war with God. I'm not throwing grenades at him or anything like that, you know. So, I'm at peace with him. No. The Bible says that we are at peace with God when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The same thing with hope. We have hope in God when we have peace with God. And we have hope in God. And hope is not just a feeling. If I told you, I hope it goes well for you. What does that mean? I hope it goes well for you. I wish, I believe, I expect that it goes well for you. But that's not the hope that we talk about when we have hope in God. When people tend to take their lives and commit suicide, is because they don't understand how much God loves them and what God can offer for free through the sacrifice and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our hope. We have hope in God when we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace Paul is speaking about here is not subjective, it's objective. It's not just a feeling, it's a fact. It's a fact that through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Golgotha and through the blood that was shed, we have peace with God. It's not just, oh, I'm feeling. I'm not feeling. In a culture where we're urged to live our lives based on feelings. Oh, no, I love you. Tomorrow I don't. I just don't feel it. See, hope. The hope that we are talking about, the hope that God gives us, is eternal. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. We have the hope that our ultimate destiny is sharing in the glory of God. We have the hope that our final destiny is sharing in all the beauties and all the riches that God has for us in heaven. And the scripture tells us that in Christ, we have blessings in the heavenly places. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we are seated in the heavenly places. That's our hope. Hope never disappoints. Why? Because God fills our hearts with love. Through the Holy Spirit, God makes us aware that He loves us through the Holy Spirit. We are brought a fresh awareness of the love of God. And that gives us hope. That makes us look toward the future. Knowing that our hope is not perishable. That our hope is not anchored in something that a human circumstance can drive away, can cease to exist. Paul here is speaking of the specifically Christian hope, not just hope in general, but the Christian hope. And Paul is saying that hope, genuine Christian hope, never puts people to shame. Never puts people to shame. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8, Paul says, verses 24 and 25, "For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Who hopes for what they already have? The hope that is seen is not hope at all. See, we hope in something that is not seen. Biblical hope is the confident expectation and the certainty of things that are not seen that will be given to us. See, the Bible says that there's two things. There are two kinds of things in this world. Paul says that. Things that are seen and things that are not seen. A lot of people have a problem with that. No. Everything that exists has to be seen. Science says if it exists, we have to prove it. Really? How many of you can see heat? That means it doesn't exist. How many of you see the wind? It means it doesn't exist. How many of you see my brain? It means it doesn't exist. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't believe in wind. Well, you'll see when the tree falls on your house or on your car, then you'll believe it exists. See, there's things that are seen and things that are unseen. And the things that are unseen, the Bible says, are eternal, when the things that are seen are only temporal. They're perishable. So our hope is not in things that are temporal, that are perishable. Our hope is in something or someone that's eternal. And that's eternal is unseen. And that's God. I want you to remember this morning that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He is the Lord of your life, you have peace with God, and that gives you hope. That gives you hope, and you are justified. That gives you hope that when God looks at you through the sacrifice and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, He says, "You're clean. You're not guilty." With Christ, there's a hope without end. Without Christ, there's an end without hope. See, that is the distinction. With Christ, there's a hope without end. Without Christ, there's an end without hope. There's two categories of people here this morning. There's those who have a hope without end. Those who have anchored their hope, and the object of their hope is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. That's a hope without end. There's other people here this morning that have an end without hope because they don't know Jesus Christ and they don't know God. I'm asking you this morning to be consistent, logically consistent with your beliefs. Because if you tell me that you only believe in things that you see, then you can't really live your life and be consistent. You do believe, and you do live your life, and you do use things that you can't see, that you can only feel. Happy case scenario. Our hope is in God. We know He works in our lives. We have felt that. We have seen that. There's testimonies on that. Our hope is a hope without end, because it is in God who is eternal, who's not temporal, who's not perishable. See, our God, the God that we praise, the God that we believe in, is not limited by time, space, and matter. He transcends those. He's not limited by those. If you want a God that's limited by time, space, and matter, you go ahead and worship Him. I won't even lift up a hand, a finger, and open my mouth for such a God, because then I can be my own God. But the beauty of the Bible is that we have a God that is above time, space, and matter, that is eternal, and that we cannot fully understand. Boy, am I glad I don't fully understand my God, because He is the God of hope. And in His Son, Jesus Christ, we have hope that's eternal, because He is a God that's eternal. And the hope that never ends is in Jesus Christ. When you have peace with God, you have a hope that never ends, and it will never, never, ever disappoint you. At the end of it all, hope in Jesus Christ never disappoints those who choose that hope. So when circumstances tell you it's over, we live by faith, we don't live by circumstances. When circumstances tell me it's over, I remember I am a son of faith, I am a son of God, I am not a son of circumstances. When circumstances tell me there's no point to live, I have a hope that never ends with Jesus Christ. So for you this morning, you have a choice to make. To be where you have peace with God by being reconciled to God through Lord Jesus Christ, and have true, eternal, ever lasting hope. If you're here this morning and you've already done that in your life, I encourage you to keep on going and know that your hope is in something eternal, almighty, all-powerful, in someone that never ends, and that's God Almighty. That's our hope. So let's live with a passion for hope, because hope is indispensable to life, and hope, true hope, is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless you. Thank you.